So good. Oh, we're so blessed. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 through 16, in the New Century Version of the Bible. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his followers, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees have the authority to tell you what the law of Moses says. So you should obey and follow whatever they tell you, but their lives are not good examples for you to follow. They tell you to do things, but they themselves do not do them. They make strict rules to try and force people to obey them, but they are unwilling to help those who struggle under the weight of those rules. They do good things, but only so other people will see them. They enlarge the little boxes holding scriptures that they wear and make special prayer clothes very long. Those Pharisees and teachers of the law love to have the most important seats at the feasts and in the synagogues. They love people to greet them with respect in the marketplaces, and they love to have people call them teacher. How terrible for you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You are hypocrites. You close the door for people to enter the kingdom of heaven. You yourselves do not even enter, and you stop others who are trying to enter. How terrible for you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You take away widows' houses and say long prayers so that people will notice you. How terrible for you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you are hypocrites. You guide the people, but you yourselves are blind." Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Today, we are discussing chapter 5 of Brené Brown's book, Braving the Wilderness. This is a book that we have been going through all summer long. And this week, the chapter is entitled, "Speak Truth to BS, Be Civil." So because we're in church, I'm going to be saying BS and not the real word, or bull crap. but if you have been paying attention at all, you know that Brené Brown is incredibly honest and authentic, and she doesn't like to kind of step around things, and I think what she has to say is incredibly important. This week, I looked at the concept of BS all around me. I looked at the BS that was spoken to me, and I was convicted during the times that I BS'd myself. It's everywhere, but it's toxic, and so today we're going to discuss why it's so dangerous. As a pastor, I can't think of anyone who is better at calling people out on their BS than Jesus. He did it a lot. He did it to most primarily the demons and the Pharisees. So I'm just going to stop there and let you think about that. The Pharisees truly were some fathers of BS. And the leadership challenge between Jesus and the Pharisees had been brewing for some time, 3 years. And things were getting ugly in Matthew chapter 23 because the religious elite system had played such a crucial part in this culture. And the people on top of that system loved the privilege and the respect that they got. And Jesus came in and started challenging them. Henry G. Frankfurt, a professor of philosophy from Princeton University, talks about the dangers of BS in his book, saying, "Someone who lies and someone who tells the truth are playing on opposite sides in the same game. Each responds to the facts as they understand them. Although the response of the other defies the authority and refuses to meet its demands. The BSer, though, ignores these demands altogether. He does not reject the authority of the truth like the liar does and opposes it. He actually just pays no attention at all to the truth. By virtue of this, the BSer is a greater enemy of the truth than the liar is." End quote. So this is the reality. There's no honest debate. The truth of BS is it's just about being right and thinking what you want to think, not actually what is true. And the Pharisees didn't really care about the truth. They cared about looking better than everyone else. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus calls them out on this and says how obsessed they were on their image on the outside, but completely rotten on the inside, and how they would preach new laws, making it harder and harder for people to actually follow God, but they didn't even practice those ridiculous laws themselves. They were hypocrites. And Brené Brown says, The birthplace of the problem of BS is that argument, you're either with us or against us, right? We're all guilty of this, especially myself. Our brain is so wired for this tribal mentality. We love binaries, the us versus them thing that we do. But this argument creates a myriad of problems. First of all, it instills factions and fear, like we've talked about before. It manipulates people into being forced to choose a side, but most dangerously, it tells us there are only two sides. It creates a false dichotomy or a false dilemma. And if you know the way that the world works, there are always more than two sides of an argument. We are complex, multifaceted beings, so wouldn't it make sense for us to have complex, multifaceted opinions, beliefs, and answers? The first way I think we can combat BS in our world is with the courage to critically think. And yes, that requires courage, because God intended for us to use our brains. That's one of my favorite David Gomendy quotes was, he told me, he said, Angie, we're Methodist, and that means that we can think for ourselves and we can use our brains. And I said, amen, brother, that is the truth. I love that about our denomination. We can think for ourselves with what the text is saying. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus challenged everybody's way of thinking. According to the Pharisees, you either followed the law, all 636 of them, or you were a failure and a sinner. But Jesus challenged them to think outside the box and said the two most important laws are love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. All the other laws just hang on these two commandments. To the religious, you were either in the Jewish club, like we talked about last week, and you were pure and you had that wonderful heritage about you, or you were outside the club and you were like a gross Gentile. And Jesus challenged that by doing most of his ministry in the margins, where the outcasts were. To men in this society, you were either lucky enough to be born a man and therefore seen as a person, or you were born a woman and considered property. And Jesus went, as we remember last week, and taught women. These things were radically challenging and forced people to critically think for the first time about their culture, their theology, their lives, everything. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus challenged us to take everything we thought we knew and take it a step further. He turned the Old Testament law and the whole system upside down, guys. So if Jesus challenged BS with critical thinking, and he did a lot, Jesus is also challenging us to critically think today. But I think the reason we struggle with that, especially in the church, is because we want certainty. We want a one-liner, a thus saith the Lord mic drop, right? We want things to be simple and easy. And so thinking past a false dichotomy, whether or not it's false, is requiring courage. And it's absolutely opting for that wilderness that we have been learning about this summer. Here's an example of how I am in the wilderness all the time just by being myself. Because I do not conform to a simple two-sided false dichotomy that says you are either a conservative Bible-believing Christian or you are a heretical progressive Methodist Christian who supports women in leadership, gasp, and that LGBTQ people are people, double gasp. I went to a Baptist seminary, y'all, okay? I graduated in a class of 80, and there were three women, and two of us are actually pastoring. It was a lonely time. I was the only woman in my preaching class and the only woman in my Greek classes, which were by far the most difficult classes I have ever taken. And I was told on a daily basis, not by my professors, because that would be illegal, but by my seminary colleagues, my classmates, that you either study the Bible and believe what it says about women staying silent in the church, and that LGBTQ people have no business being in the church at all, or you're not a real Christian. Nope. As Brene Brown says in her book, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying into that BS, that false dichotomy that tells me you can't be a conservative, Bible-believing Christian and affirm LGBTQ people. That is crap. They have the same gifts and graces that we do. I'm not buying into that false dichotomy that tells me you can't be a woman and have a husband and kids and preach, teach, disciple, lead, and love people well. Guess what? I live in that wilderness every single day, not conforming to either one of those camps, and it's working out really great for me. But it's hard, and it's lonely, and here's the reality of it. It is exhausting. It's exhausting to have one foot in the conservative Christian camp because I believe in the majority of what they believe, and I like them, and one foot in the progressive Christian camp because I really love them too, and I like what they believe. But I'm not fully in either one of those camps. It's like I have one foot in one canoe and the other foot in the other canoe, and I'm doing this all the time. It's a good workout, but it's hard. But that's who I am, and that is living with the integrity as a Bible-believing, scripture-submitting to, Bible commentary-obsessing female pastor who believes in full LGBTQ inclusion of all people, and is passionate about the Word of God, but not just taking it at face value. I believe that just because we read the Bible doesn't mean we know what it says. And the hardest part about the wilderness is that I am called to combat this BS not only with critical thinking, but also with civility and grace. So hard. I have so many conversations with people from various sides of all kinds of theological debates. And one of the most recent conversations I approach through the power of the Holy Spirit with civility and grace happened on our youth mission trip to New Mexico. We went to a Baptist camp, and I agreed and enjoyed 90% of what the camp pastor preached on. He was wonderful. He was engaging and anointed, and God really spoke through him. But our ministry site contact was a woman named Miss Rose, and her church preached on hellfire and brimstone a lot. She started preaching fear and shame and the wrath of God to our students one day, and once she was done, I very politely got up, went outside her house, and called the camp director. And it could have been very easy for me to say a lot of things that weren't not very nice, and I graciously said, we're having some theological disagreements that are causing issues, and I'm going to ask for a new ministry site for my students. He asked what was wrong in particular, and I told him, and he said, with as much empathy and grace for me, I understand, and I definitely will get you a new ministry site right away. He said that he would talk to Miss Rose about the theological differences, and so I went in, got our leaders, got the students, and we left. What I wanted to do, as in my sin, as an angry person, was to march into Miss Rose's house, tell her she was wrong, and how dare she scare our students like that. But the mature thing to do, the Christ-like thing to do, the right thing to do, is approach Miss Rose and realize that that's just what she learned. That's what her pastor taught. That's probably just the theology she grew up in, to always be afraid that if you died that night, you might be going to hell. That's what was taught to her. So I don't think she was intentionally being malicious or mean-spirited. I think that is just what she knew. And that is approaching conflict, and yes, sometimes BS, with grace. Brene Brown says that civility is claiming and caring for one's own identity, needs, and beliefs without degrading someone else in the process. It is about disagreeing without disrespect, seeking common ground as a starting point for dialogue about differences, listening past one's preconceptions, we have a lot of those, and teaching others to do the same. While Jesus called BS when he saw it, he also did it with love and grace for people. He was always willing to dialogue with people, and he never, at the same time, compromised the truth. We, too, are called to stand in our own integrity and true belonging with grace and civility towards others. because the difference between believing something different and just BS is that you've thought about it. You really have thought about it, and you have engaged in all of the other sides and listened to what they have to say. Because we are in such desperate times right now in our country, we are so polarized. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and desperate measures, as Brené Brown says, are sometimes fertilized with BS. I want to end by bragging on my fiancé, Russ, for a moment, because Russ is the king of braving the wilderness by speaking truth to BS and staying civil in his men's small group every Tuesday. He went to a conservative evangelical church, a really big one down the street, and now he doesn't go there anymore. Spoiler alert, he comes here. praise the Lord, blessed be God. But he still, every Tuesday night, goes to that small group of men from the church, and he meets with them, and he loves them. One of them is his groomsman, and he's great. But those men go to a church that have no minority representation, no females in senior leadership, and they absolutely do not affirm the inclusion of LGBTQ people. And it would have been really easy for Russ to leave the small group, especially when sometimes people say intentionally or unintentionally ignorant things that are hurtful, but he didn't, and he doesn't. He stays there, standing true in his belonging, and at the same time, never compromises what he is and what he believes. When he states the fact that it's not okay that there are no people of color ever up on the stage or females leading worship, and what is it with people who are fully out not being able to receive communion? Well, the other men don't even get defensive about this. They just didn't even notice it until Russ brought it up. And when the men in his small group say things like, well, women being pastors is a sin and homosexuality is absolutely an abomination because the Bible says so, Russ doesn't get angry because the Bible says so is just what we always say when we want to be right. He said, right? Amen. Tell me I'm wrong. He says things like, where did you hear that or read that? Did you know there's a whole other way of interpreting these texts? One time when he was playing golf with one of these guys, he was giving him a whole egalitarian debate on women in leadership and Junia, and then talked about the historical context for homosexuality at the time. And, well, it was very different and da-da-da-da-da during 18 holes. And the guy was kind of trapped, so they had to talk and be loving to each other. You know, they couldn't go anywhere. He challenges their thinking and speaks to their statements with love and generosity and civility and grace. And those men are coming around to, whether they stay in their beliefs or not, actually having to critically think about it and actually having to listen to the alternative side. That is the point. We are all entitled to believe what we want to believe. It's what I said earlier about being Methodist. But we really do have to learn how to dialogue and love each other well and really research it and wrestle with it ourselves. We've got to do that. So, unfortunately, fear, acute emotion, and lack of knowledge about particular subjects provide the perfect setup for BS and uncivil behavior. I'm absolutely guilty of this too. I catch myself doing this on a daily basis, okay? I'm with you, but I know that the gospel challenges us to speak truth to our own BS and the BS we see around us, continue having difficult conversations with people who do not agree with us, and seek to love people and see people the way God sees them. This is the only way we will see transformation, true authenticity, and belonging in the church and in our world. May this all be so. Amen.